This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Non-dog owners are claiming there's a stigma if they don't share the collective love of our canine best friends, and it's affecting their relationships. And according to Animal Medicines Australia 2022 Pets in Australia report, 48% of us have at least one dog. So where do you sit? Are you with the dog owners or with the non-dog owners?
Gender, sexuality and pop culture. There isn't much Lauren Rosewarne doesn't know, and if she doesn't, we'll make it up.
Lauren Rosewarne, good afternoon.
Hello, Warren. Thanks for having me.
I'm laughing because, as we were just talking before off air, there's been an attempted assassination of the US president, and we've spoken about that for the past couple of weeks, and instead we're talking about, the stigma of being a dog owner. So you reckon we've got our priorities right?
It's no less important. I mean, we can acknowledge that Joe Biden is currently suffering from COVID and that this may be the end of his political career. Who knows? But I still think you and I being dog people, this is an important story to us.
Where do you sit on it?
So as soon as I saw this article, which was in The Guardian, a few media outlets have published it, but I saw it in The Guardian first, I was thinking about a date I went on with a man. This was probably, say, the fifth or sixth date. Mm. And we're walking and I see a dog. And I can't see a dog and not mention the dog and then go and touch the dog. Okay, this just has to happen. So I make a little squeal and move over towards the dog. And the man I was with, pulls me back and goes, "You can't touch the dog, it might be dirty."
Oh.
And that was it for me. That was when the ick started. And I feel that judgment he had about that dog that he didn't know and thinking of dogs as dirty, it hadn't come up previously because I don't have a dog. I was living in a small apartment, but I still love them and I'm taking all the opportunities to pat them and cuddle them. And yet he felt his first reaction to seeing a dog was that they were dirty.
Oh, my goodness. As you know, Fuzzy passed away a few weeks ago, but I had him for 17 years. And if a guy came over and didn't acknowledge him, I would instantly make up my mind. Like, sometimes they put their knee out to stop. I mean, he was excited, he was just a little miniature poodle. And I'd instantly say, nah, this is not going any further. My mind would not be, it wouldn't change. It wouldn't change at all. And I think it's because
You can't unring that bell. You can't unsee what you saw. It's like if someone's rude to a waiter or something like that. I can't get that out of my mind. And it's the same as if you were sort of cool or standoffish with a dog and a dog was near us. I can't see you in the same light anymore.
No, definitely. I've only ever had the one dog, and I have to admit I'm probably on the fence here because I wasn't a dog person at all. I had no interest, and I actually didn't like dating people who had dogs myself. So I kind of think that you have to sort of go through the dog experience or have some connection to someone who has a dog before, you can switch over, I suppose, to becoming one of the people who just values their dog so much. I don't know.
I think I have to relate to that, like cats, because I'm not a cat person. Mm. But that's because I've never had cats. I've never had close friends who've had cats. I think if I loved the guy enough, maybe, and he had no. I'm not sure I could get over the cat thing because it means you've made a choice not to have a dog.
But there's something about that I learned in having a dog is, I mean, I knew him inside out and he knew my behaviours as well. Even though we couldn't speak to each other via language, I knew exactly what he was thinking and he would know exactly what I was thinking as well, to a point where, he might say, "Dad, I'm just going to give you space for 10 seconds," and he'd go away and then he would come back. More than any human would ever know me. And I wonder if that's why people who don't have dogs and don't understand necessarily what it's like to have a pet dog find it a bit intimidating or don't want to date people, because there is this bond that you can't break. And it's a bond that I didn't know existed until I had my one dog. And I wonder if that's what it is. You're essentially dating the person and their dog, aren't you?
Yeah, and I think particularly if it's a dog that, you know, if it's a small dog and goes everywhere with you, or if you have, you know, signs of the dog on you, such as fur. But I think also you make a really good point about people if they don't have dogs. It's really easy to see them as, let's say, dirty, even though if they live with you, you're not going to let them get dirty. But that said, you see them as dirty, or you don't see them as actually part of the family. And I guess I sort of, and what I'm about to say is a little bit mean, and I don't mean it to be mean, but I don't have kids. So you know how you just generalize about kids being sort of sticky fingered little, and you're not personalizing them because they're not yours.
Yes.
And I can imagine for people with dogs, there's also that element to it. If you've had a bad experience with a dog, let's say you got bitten as a kid or whatever, you just see them as animals in the way I might see other kinds of animals that aren't domestic pets. And I think that's also part of this sort of getting over that barrier if you liked a person. But again, is it though like children? You've got to mention it up front if you have a dog, particularly if it's a dog that lives in your house or even your bed, because if you're going to be intimate with a person, this may be a deal breaker.
You don't want the dog licking the feet or anything.
No. Well, that would be a strange way to find out that your new partner had a dog, wouldn't it?
All the sniffing's going on. Not me sniffing.
This is it. You hadn't seen the dog before things got intimate, and then suddenly someone who isn't your new partner is licking your feet. No.
How long have we been, have humans and dogs been together as companions? How many thousands of years?
A lot. I would imagine this has been a very long time, and there's lots of mixed research about who domesticated who. You know, there's always been this study about did humans domesticate dogs as animals, but there are some theorists to actually argue it happened in the reverse, that dogs made us more civilized. And I think there's lots of interesting research about that very close link humans have had with animals for a really long time, but particularly domestic pets.
There's something else I'll mention too, and that is the grief surrounding dogs. Are we going to talk about this as a separate thing on Joy Drive? But I've never experienced anything like it, Lauren, ever. Yeah. I thought I had, through losing friends, through HIV, through, you know, losing immediate family members, siblings, I thought I could manage grief. I thought I had grief down pat. I thought I could had it under control. But nothing has hit me like this. Yeah. The death of a dog that's been your friend, your best friend for 17 years. And one of the most comforting things that I've found out is all these other dog owners rally around you. They come out of the woodwork and they understand. And even, you know, I had to see one of my doctors today about something, and I was telling him, and as I'm telling him, he teared up and he said, "Oh my goodness, I'm just thinking of my dog." And it was even 8 years ago. And he said, "I completely understand this grief."
I saw someone had posted a poem about losing their dog on social media, and I was crying, and the sort of family dog, it had been 9 years since the dog died. And it's one of those things that it's I think no amount of time can pass if you've loved a dog that you ever get over it in that way. And I think there's lots of explanations for it, but I think it's probably that sort of reciprocity, and the dog doesn't need a lot from you.
No.
And yet gives you all of this stuff, these emotions and companionship, etc. And it's a strange relationship that is not like a lot of relationships with humans. There's a lack of complexity there as well, which makes it very easy.
I was dating a guy who would get jealous of Fuzzy. And so I'm jealous that you always give him so much attention. You know what happened to him?
Did you say, "Have you seen Fuzzy?"
Honestly,
I mean, really?
He got
and Fuzzy's not complaining about you, is he?
No, exactly. What are the benefits, though, of having a dog? There must be health benefits as well. I mean, I've never felt so lonely without him, to be honest.
Yeah, and so there's obviously the companionship factor, and we certainly saw during COVID there were real spikes in people trying to get pets. Particularly, I remember they were seeing articles around the shelter saying we don't have any left because people, particularly when we got into sort of second lockdowns, people were realizing I can't do this on my own, particularly if I live alone. But then after COVID, you had all these people trying to return dogs, particularly dogs, because once they had to start going back to work, the dog had massive separation anxiety. Mm. And how was that going to be handled? But there are the physical health benefits outside of the mental ones. You know, you read studies around blood pressure, etc. It makes me laugh, though, because my parents have a very, very neurotic dog, incredibly neurotic. So when you read the studies about the blood pressure, I think my parents' dog has given them the blood pressure problems. Every time I visit, there's a new issue with the dog, and I had to pet sit recently. And when my parents got home, Dad said, "Why is there still Weet-Bix in her bowl?" And I said, "I don't know. She didn't eat it." And Dad said, did you heat the milk properly? And it's just, why? Apparently, I wasn't on the winter routine with the dog about the appropriate milk temperature. I know. Shame on me for not heating the milk. So to the winter temperature.
Do you think there is anything behind this? Is there a stigma of non-dog owners? Are we a dog-owner culture? Does that dominate us?
Absolutely. But I also think, though, men particularly, women may, but there is research that looks at men and how men use photos of dogs on social media, how they use photos of dogs on dating apps. And for a lot of people, both men and women are attracted to men who pose with dogs because there's a feeling like, well, if the dog likes them, it's almost a testimonial. And a joke I make, but it's not really a joke, if a man said to me, "Come and look at my puppies in the van," Warren, I'm going to the van, even though I know it's really not a good idea. I love dogs so much. I wouldn't go for, like, if you said I had lollies or stuff, but if
you
had puppies,
you need to bring me first. I'll come with you.
Okay, so you can come in the van and we both get kidnapped.
That's at least we'll be
there
together.
It'll be worth it because we'll still see the puppies at the end.
That's exactly right. Lauren, great to chat with you. We'll catch you again next week.
Thanks,
Lauren. That's Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.